Family, welcome to episode one of Processing with MJ Upchurch. First of all, thank you for your support in watching this video, being here and experiencing this with me and being here to grow with me. Thank you for the gift of your vulnerability in opening up to me and allowing me to get insight into what you guys want to hear. As I've talked to some of you leading up to this podcast, thank you for giving me ideas for basically what people need right now, what people need to hear and understand. So before I get into anything else, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the other person on the other side of this screen. Thank you for all that you're doing in their life. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for creating this platform and using me to reach your people and to reach people who will become your people in the future, Lord. I pray you anoint this podcast and keep everyone connected to it and around it safe and sound, and use them for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first thing you should be asking yourself is, why in the world is MJ starting a podcast? There are so many podcasts in and around society nowadays. It's like 200,000 or something start every year, and I'm sure that number is only growing. So you should be questioning me really aggressively right now if you already aren't. So why is processing a thing? What does that even mean? So the last few months, I have felt like God has slightly been dropping hints to me about the idea of processing and the idea of me having a speaking platform in some way or another, but I didn't think that it would be me having my own platform or whatever. Like, I watch a lot of podcasts and listen to them, and I always thought that would be cool to go on someone else's, but never did I think I would start my own for real. But as I continue to talk to close family and friends, they were reassuring me that that was definitely where I'm supposed to be heading, to be able to talk to people and use this platform to give people the gospel and show them exactly that God is around us at all times. So yeah, we went through why is a podcast a thing for MJ. Now we need to go through who is MJ. So I first started speaking, or whatever you want to call it, first time was in my fifth grade graduation. I had been struggling with depression and low self-esteem as a result of bullying. And I had my perspective of myself completely changed. And it led to very bad mental habits and ideas and mental health in general. And that led me to just writing out my feelings, and I showed it to my teacher, and she was like, "You're gonna read this at graduation." I didn't know what that meant for real, but I was just told I was gonna do it, and I did. Fast forward to high school, my mom, I guess, noticed it just all throughout the years along the way that God had given me a voice to speak. Like, it's as simple as that. If you have a voice, you're gonna be used to speak to people, to give God the glory and to edify them and point them to Him. So That's all that this is going to be. It's going to be showing you guys the different ways that God has worked in my life and the way He's constantly working in all of our lives around us. So yeah, in high school, my mom kind of got me in the practice of speaking on the spot by putting her phone in my face and asking me a random question. Usually it was horrible timing, like after a game or something where I just lost and I'm angry, and she would be like, "What would you tell a kid in this position?" I don't know. I'm mad right now. I'm not thinking straight for real. I'm 16. Hormones is crazy. but she was really breeding public speaking for me, honestly. And using those skills just slowly started developing in me a practice of being able to talk to people and just help encourage people with my words. So yeah, this podcast is for anyone who is looking for the truth and for wisdom. And that's always going to come from me with the Bible as my foundation. I am a Christian. I'm a believer, a firm believer in Jesus. And I grew up in church and was pretty much in church about 6 days a week. My family was very involved, and my mom specifically, and I was attached to her hip growing up. So I was always there and knew about God and stuff, but didn't really know Him personally. But 2 Januaries ago, I met Jesus personally, and He showed me who He was. He showed me that He loved me. He showed me that He is, in fact, moral perfection, and He died for my sins. And He showed me that I was not the person that I thought I was. I wasn't a righteous, good church boy, but I needed him to guide me and show me the way to use the gifts that he has given me. So anything you hear from me is definitely going to come from the foundation of the teachings of the Bible. But we'll get into why I believe all of that in another episode. But right now, the first thing is introducing you to this platform and basically telling you why and how this is, in fact, from God. So I'm going to go to the Word with it. You're going to see this a lot. And I mean, ultimately, I don't want you guys to hear anything from my mouth that isn't going to be echoed or wasn't first said in the Bible. So the first verse I'm going to pull up for you guys to highlight how and why a podcast or fashion or music or anything like that is going to be for God and how you can know if it is, in fact, from God. So Matthew 22:36, real quick context, one of the teachers of the law, a Sadducee, was coming up to Jesus to confront him and try to basically catch him lacking and make him slip up and blaspheme so that they can stone him to death. But Jesus is never going to be caught lacking. So starting at verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He, Jesus, said to him, the Sadducee, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." So, pro tip for how you know if a blessing is in fact from God or if it's from the enemy, because the Bible does say the enemy comes disguised as an angel of light. And a lot of people who are in positions of influence will really quickly accept some kind of reward and say, "I'm giving glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," when their product has never had anything to do with him. And the enemy will in fact bless you so that you can continue to be distracted and distract other people and guide them away from the truth that is found in Jesus. So this verse, Jesus is highlighting as the two most important things in the Bible, essentially, loving God and loving other people. And what I've found in my experience and in the experience of others around me and in my time reading and praying is that when God blesses us, it is to glorify him and praise him and honor him, and also to serve other people. Every time Jesus does a miracle in the scriptures, it's not just a flex of his deity. It's not just to heal a person so they can keep it pushing and going, but it's always both. It's always an exposition of God revealing himself in a human body and also improving the lives of everyone involved and even not involved. We're still talking about a man who died and came back to life 2,000 years later. He's still serving us. He served us back then, and the effects of his death, burial, and resurrection are still lasting today and through today for the rest of eternity. So yeah, if you are suddenly presented with an opportunity, you need to first check, is this glorifying God? Is it congruent with the word in the scripture? Or is it not? Is it sometimes potentially distracting for myself, for others? Is it not explicitly glorifying him? Can this be used to further the kingdom of heaven, to bring it here? And is it also going to serve others? Because God's blessings always do both. Is it going to serve God and serve other people? This platform, for example, I told y'all I believe it was from God, so I'm gonna give you the evidence. As I continued to talk to people leading up to the creation of this podcast, I kept telling people that I know, you know, are believers, that I felt like it was from God. And some of them just agreed with me, but the ones that I know are firm in their word, they would test me on that. They'll be like, "How do you know?" And in my response and telling them that this is a platform that's going to be for you guys, it's going to be to serve you guys and show you guys how the world around us is always reflecting God's presence, or at least the need for his presence. We have a lot of crazy things happening in the world right now, wars and horrible, unspeakable tragedies, but those things just point to the human need for a savior all the time. So this podcast will be built on the foundation of the word and of the historicity, which is the historical reliable evidence that Jesus was in fact a real person who did really live and teach and then die. And in front of 500 people over a time period of 40 days, he was seen in the flesh, not a ghost, but physically a human being that could be touched. So yeah, that's the foundations of where we're going to be going with this. And In trying to figure out what I was going to talk about as the topic of this episode, I was reminded of a sermon that I heard where, simply put, the pastor just said, use what you have or use what you know. You don't have to know every single verse in the Bible. You don't have to know every single book. You don't have to know a whole chapter. If you can remember one verse, that's all you need to give the gospel to someone. God can use everyone, no matter what your skill level or intelligence or education is. You don't have to have a seminary degree to give someone the love of Jesus. So in that same way, I spend time studying the word as much as I can. I'm kind of becoming and growing into a Bible nerd. So we're going to flip to our next chapter or our next passage, which is in John chapter 4. And this one might be a familiar one to some of you guys. It is usually referred to as the woman at the well. This is an encounter where Jesus did something radical, shocker, and changed the world because of it. Changed the way that we viewed the world at that time. And still, like, we're still talking about this guy, like I said, and we're never going to fully understand the depth of his wisdom and knowledge and love. It's just not possible. He has infinite reservoirs of those things for us to continue to just get our daily nourishment from. So, John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. A woman of Samaria, this is going to be a long scripture. I definitely advise you read along with me. It's going to be several verses. John chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked him, for Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. For you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Sir, the woman replied, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. So that was a lot to unpackage. Again, let me tell you the verse. It was John 4, verses 7 through 26. So let's start from the beginning and continue to, let's break it down, basically, of why God calls us to do anything, why he blesses us with anything. Like I said, it's two things always, to serve him and to serve other people. So Jesus gives us a peek on what that looks like, basically. So he's talking to this woman who is a Samaritan. So first thing you need to know, Samaritans were ethnically Jewish. All Jewish people came from Abraham, who had a son, and his son name was Jacob. Well, he had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob. And so, yeah, all Jewish people, including the Samaritans in this, came from their ancestor, the father of their faith and their ethnicity, Abraham. And the Samaritans, somewhere down the line, began to break some of the cultural practices that had been put in place in the Old Testament times, back hundreds of years before. So Jesus talking to this woman is immediately a no-no. In verse 9, it says, for Jews, do not associate with Samaritans. So the Jewish teachers at the time taught that Samaritans essentially lived in a perpetual state of sin, that they viewed them as half-breeds who didn't respect the law that had been given to them by Moses. So Jesus talking to this woman in the middle of the day, which is another thing that is important to point out. People at that time in ancient Israel, today in Israel as well, it's really hot in the Middle East. When people would go to the well to draw water, they didn't go there in the middle of the day because that's the hottest point of the day. They would go first thing in the morning before the sun rises or right at sunrise so that they can miss most of that heat. So this woman being at this well at this time in the middle of the day means that she was going at a time where she knew other people weren't going to be around. She was, I'm not going to accuse her of having any kind of shame or anything like that or being something that she wasn't. A lot of people misexegete this text and will call her a prostitute and stuff like that. And we don't have enough evidence in this to go down that path. She's simply a woman who wanted some alone time, as far as we know. So she went in the middle of the day when no one would be around. Jesus honors this in her, and it says that he asked her for a drink because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. So he waited for his disciples to leave before starting this very intimate conversation and experience with this woman. And Jesus reveals some details later on about her personal life, the fact that she's not married, the fact that she has had 5 husbands in the past, and now is currently living with a man who is not her husband, which is ritually not allowed in Jewish culture. Samaritan culture, like I was saying, was not following all the same practices, but she was with a man who was not her husband, essentially. So Jesus saying that about her, not only does he know something he shouldn't know, so she immediately sees him as a prophet. As we continue to go throughout this story, you start to see the woman's view of Jesus shift. She first just recognizes him as a Jew, just ethnically. Jesus was a regular guy who had Jewish features that were pertinent to that time. He looked Jewish. That's all she saw in him at first when they first started the conversation. Then when Jesus talks to her and tells her about herself, essentially, she then calls him a prophet. So his status is slowly starting to increase in her mind as he continues to reveal himself about to her. And later, she mentions that the person that they called the Messiah, or the Anointed One, is what this was also called. This was a person that was heavily spoken of in the Old Testament that would... It was described in figurative language, but many of the people took it literally, that he would come back and overthrow Rome, who was currently occupying Israel and basically mistreating them in the practices that they had put into place in the laws and taxes and things like that. So many people were expecting a warrior king to come overthrow Rome and free Israel. However, Jesus, being the humble Lamb of God, came in a very, very different way, which is why he was able to slide under the radar in front of this woman. She didn't see him to be her savior immediately from looking at him. Rather, she saw him just as a Jewish man. And then after giving some insight into something that only God should know, God and the woman, she recognizes him as a prophet. And then in verse 25, she says, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, which means anointed. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. This starts to point to the fact that her faith is starting to be slightly awoken. As I said, Samaritans didn't practice the same ethical and spiritual followings and teachings that the Jewish teachers taught. So for her to acknowledge what Old Testament scripture is saying is to start to associate with her Jewishness a little bit more, her identity found in covenant with God. And Jesus finally reveals the big message that he, in fact, is the Messiah. So let's fast forward, let's go back into the word. And in verse 27, it says, just then his disciples arrived and they were amazed.
that he was talking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So let's pause there. This woman is referred to by many people, many Bible scholars, as the first missionary, because she was the first person to receive a word from God, who was Jesus, and God, Jesus was God in the flesh. She received the word and then went to tell other people. And as I was saying, God can use anything that you have. She doesn't know who he is for real. She just knows that he is not a regular person. And she takes that information and spreads it with everyone around her, whether or not they care about her. She just runs into town and says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." So my question for you is, what's holding you back? What is it that's standing in between you and serving God? For many people, that's going to be many different things. So that's something you're going to have to wrestle with internally and ask God for clarity on. But for me, it was fear that I didn't know enough. And I think that comes with pride, for sure, because I have been a person that's, you know, always gotten decent grades. And I think you can become very self-reliant on our own intelligence, especially in a time where we can have everything we want at the tip of our fingers and we can solve just about everything on our own, or at least we think we can. God can very much refocus us by showing us our blind spots. So this woman had a blind spot to the fact that the Messiah was right in front of her. And that is the focus of what this podcast is, like I said. He is always right in front of us, waiting for us to discover him in every single thing we see around us. In music, clothes, video games, TV shows, all of it. It's either that he's there or that we need him there desperately. So yeah, those were just a couple of examples in the word, how Jesus is always in front of us and everything he does is to serve God and to serve people. He changed this woman's life by revealing himself to her. I know he can do the same thing with you. He did the same thing with me. He can do it with literally anyone. By giving her the gift of revealing himself, he was staying in accordance with the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? Many people will say it's never for us to tell while we're on earth because we're humans. But I think that's exactly why we have scripture. That's why God put himself in a human body as Jesus and gave us plenty of evidence and things to look to what that is. And John 3:16 says it very simply. What does God want from the world? It says, I don't know why I'm blanking on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So first thing we need to see in that is that God loves us. His will is for us to be loved by him. And he loves us so much that he decided to limit his deity in becoming a human being so that he could relate to us and die on our behalf as the only morally perfect human to ever exist, to never break any law, to never make any sin, never tell any white lie, never hit anyone, never cuss anybody out. Like, straight, it's that simple. He loves us so much that he wants us to know him. That's all that the Bible is. This is all just a revelation of who God is. So anytime you're opening the Bible, I'm challenging you to not look for yourself in it. Look for God in it. We're never going to be the main character. That is how the Pharisees missed so much of the law that they preach. Jesus said it to them. You disobey the very law that you preach. And we do that by looking at ourselves and thinking that we can make ourselves holy by perfectly upholding the law. When in reality, our faith is built on constantly relying on the revelation and truth that is taught and found in Jesus. So anytime you're reading the word, you can't just flip open to a random page and say, "God, what do you have to say to me right now?" Or "What I need something out of this right now, and I'm going to try to use the cosmic bellboy that we call God to bless me immediately." It doesn't work like that. God
wants us to know everything about ourselves by looking at him first. Everything that we are came from the way that he designed us. So if we start to look at the world around us and look at the Bible through his lens, from his perspective, the way that he revealed to us, we can start to see him more clearly, and that will allow us to see ourselves and the other people around us more clearly. At the end of the day, whether or not people know it, we worship something. Whatever you hold most valuable is what you worship. For example, many of us are unconsciously holding money as our God. We put money above anything else in the world. We'll do whatever for money. And that doesn't mean whatever the idea of selling your soul is in your head, like signing some contract to the devil in a dark room at night, is literally just compromising your morals for financial gain. So I was living my life thinking that I had to go to college. I had to be the best athlete. I had to get the best grades so I could then get the best job, so I could then have enough money to provide for my family. Putting all of that faith at the end of the day on the money will never, ever satisfy us. Money can be ripped up extremely easily and it be completely useless, have no value. Putting our faith in God and choosing to worship him, he is the only eternal being in our universe and outside of our universe, having created it. If we're not putting our faith in the things that are going to last from before the earth's creation to after the earth is made new again, you're going to be disappointed every time. I can tell you that from experience. I thought that getting money was going to be a solution. And I mean, it might not sound like anything for me, but I think everyone knows now that a lot of the people that have the most money in the world are the people that are the most sad, people that have the least amount of consent, the people that have the least joy, the people that have the least contentment and peace. We can only find those things in Jesus. We can only find those things in God, which is why he revealed himself, which is why he loves us so much. He wants us to spend eternity with him, but he's not going to force us to do anything because he loves us. If you choose to live your life separate from God, he's going to honor your decision because he's a loving father. Anyone who forces someone to do something is not doing out of love. The other person cannot reciprocate that love honestly and earnestly. It has to be a choice, which is why he has given us free will. He's given us the choice to choose him or choose another path. And he wants us desperately to choose him, which is why he suffered a mutilating, excruciating crucifixion, so that we wouldn't have to, so that we can live on with him on the other side of eternity. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. I'm just playing. God will use everything, man. He really will. We're going to get into a lot of different topics in this podcast, and I'm excited for you to be here on the journey with me. I am so grateful again for your support. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak over your life, to just give you the truth. And we're going to get very, very, very specific into a whole lot of different topics. But for now, this was the base episode, and I couldn't get on here and not talk about Jesus to y'all. So it's as simple as that. I'm nothing without him. None of us are. None of us exist outside of him, whether or not we think we do. So yeah, at this point, I would be extremely remiss to forget to honor my beautiful wife. We are approximately, I think, two months married. We got married on April 15th. And she is the reason any of this is possible. I don't know the beginning of podcasts or social media management or anything like that, but God put me in the presence of a beautiful woman with a lot of experience and intelligence and knowledge. And I'm just so honored. She's over here helping me with the whole setup and just being great. It's just what she does. She said thank you. Hey, there we go. She has two questions for me. And so, yeah.
Okay, so the first question that I'm going to ask, because you have already talked about scripture, what book of the Bible has been the most impactful for you that you've read so far?
That's hard, man. I hate this question. Like, what's your favorite Bible verse or favorite book because how can you just pick one? We have four that are all just talking about Jesus's teaching. Like, but to be honest, it's not even any of them. Yeah, definitely Acts. Definitely. It's not a hesitation. It's Acts. Acts, for those who don't know, it directly follows the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it talks about what the disciples did next, essentially. They were in a position of hopelessness. They had no idea what was coming next. They had followed this man for 3 years, seen him do the impossible more times than anybody can count, and all of a sudden he's gone. He told them that he would die. He told them that he would come back. And he told them that he'll be back again when he ascended to heaven. But Jesus recognizes that no matter what the promise is that God gives us for the future, there is present pain always. That's why when he raised Lazarus from the tomb, he wept beforehand. He was still human. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. He felt the pain that we feel when we experience loss. So the disciples being in a state of hopelessness, Jesus didn't then rebuke them for that. Instead, him revealing himself the way that he did for 3 years then gave them the courage to stay the course. They kept doing the work that they were doing. They said, we have to stick together first thing first. And following Judas betraying them, they got another disciple. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit pours out his presence on them and fills them with the ability to do supernatural things in order to establish and continue the work of Jesus' establishment of the church and of now our Christian faith. People will say all the time, Jesus didn't come to start a religion, which is true. He came to die on our behalf, but he also came so that we may have life more abundantly while we're still here. So him starting the initiative of building the church has continued to grow over thousands of years, and now it's worldwide, not just for Jews, not just for the Romans, but for anyone willing to accept him. So Acts has taught me that right on the other side of the ugly, right on the other side of the pain, there is glory beyond recognition, glory for God. But when the Bible says, when we exalt God, he will exalt us when we meet him in heaven as well. And yeah, just seeing, reading and hearing, I'm saying seeing because when I read, I like see the stuff in like movies. Seeing the different things that the disciples did because the Holy Spirit empowered them gives me so much hope to be able to face the things that we have in our world. And every time I'm reading the scripture, I'm learning that nothing we experience is new. Ecclesiastes says nothing is new under the sun. And when it says that, it means it. Everything we're experiencing now, it has happened before. And the Bible has something to say about it, which is why this is going to be your ultimate source of wisdom and truth. So yeah, I hope that was a pretty straightforward answer. I guess it was kind of a lot. But yeah, Acts, for sure. No, next question? Oh, okay. So yeah, that was episode one. Thank you guys for being here. Don't click off yet. I got information for y'all. You can follow this platform, social media, on Instagram and TikTok at processing.pod, processing.pod. The link to both of those will be in the description of this video. And yeah, episodes should be getting posted every Monday, most likely. If they are not, we will update you guys with the information for that change through the social medias. And you can find us on YouTube as well, at Processing Pod. No dot in the YouTube, but Processing Pod. Let's pray before we get out of here. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity I've had to speak to my brothers and sisters. Thank you for using this platform. Thank you for building this platform to be whatever you see it fit to be. I pray it edifies people, it exhorts people, it brings people closer to you. And I can't thank you enough for all that you've done in my life, my family's life. And thank you for the person on the other side of this screen. Thank you for bringing them to another day. And I pray that they grow in their faith and glorify you and serve others in everything that they do and see you and everything around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, man, thank y'all so much for being here. We gonna be back with the next episode. We got some seriously interesting topics. And yeah, do me a favor, run up the comments, share this, send it everywhere, send it to all your family, friends, your grandma, your dog, everybody.
Send it to the whole world. We spread the name of Jesus. And this is not just a Christian podcast. This is a podcast that's for anybody wanting to seek truth and wisdom. Jesus is truly for everybody. But you don't have to be a podcast. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian in order to receive what I'm going to be giving you and what my guests are going to be giving you as well. That's right. We got friends and family coming on. So y'all have a great week. Y'all have just the best time in your lives. I pray you continue to grow in your faith. And Jesus loves you, and I do too. I'll let y'all.